We are going to continue in Ephesians chapter 1 of our series on Ephesians, and I'm really excited for this week. And I really, you know, I worked on what my title of the sermon could be. And, you know, I was thinking as I came to church this morning, have you ever just had one of those Sundays that it's just really hard to get somewhere? We woke up and David had a fever. So that already, right? So B and I are looking at, so who's not going? And I said, I think they're counting on me. I might be able to call Jonathan or Ryan, you know. So there was that. We had to get him taken care of because I'm, you know, I'm the kind of person, if your kid shows up with a fever, I'm looking at you, right? And I didn't want to be that guy. But then B had prepared some stuff for her life group, so she had some books and stuff. And so as we were getting David all squared away, we got to church, but guess where the books were? Home. So we had to turn around and go home, and then we got here, and one of our dear friends got some terrible news today, so that kind of changed kind of the morning rotation, and then you saw the computer lights were down, you know, and it was just like, and so I feel inadequate this morning, I guess. You ever felt like that? And I felt just like the Lord ring in my heart, that's where I want you this morning. Because if God doesn't show up, we're not going to have church. And so we're at a spot this morning where I'm just really wanting God to show up. And then it was like, it was the title of the sermon just kind of resonated in my heart, which is this morning, as we take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, is this is what God wants you to know. This is what God wants you to know. So are you there? If you remember, last week we talked about Ephesians 1 through 2, and it was Paul, right? If God could save Paul, he can save anybody. Praise the Lord. An apostle, meaning sent out. By the will of God, we talked about it was God's will for this. To the saints who are in Ephesus, and we talked about what it meant to be a saint. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. And Ephesus, we talked about it was a church in a city much like Houston, kind of fourth largest, full of all kinds of stuff to get you in trouble. And Paul decided to do his ministry there. You've decided to live here. And so we have a lot in common. But also to the saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus, and grace and peace to you from God our Father. And remember, we talked about grace and peace. Paul was utilizing a Greek and a Hebrew welcome and blessing together because he was inclusive in what he wanted to do. And from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to kick off, is because all things are from God, right? And the way Paul positioned it, he said, from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to position them together, very importantly, because he wants us to understand they are one and the same, equal. So here we go, taking a look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I do pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, and even though today has been one of those days, God, I thank you that it reminds us, Lord, if we're not 100% dependent upon you, Lord, what are we doing? So, Father, I pray that you would speak this morning in such a way that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that it's you to our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, David, some of you know we're adopting a little guy, or at least trying to as best we can. And in adoption, we're running into some problems and challenges at times. We run into obstacles. If you've known anybody, or maybe yourself, you've walked down that road, sometimes it's difficult. Jessalyn, she was telling me they adopted their daughter, but even up until the very last minute, they were afraid the mom was going to change their mind. And you kind of live in a level of pins and needles, you know? But when I think of David, I think of a young man that I want to give him my name. I want to see him score his first goal. I want to be there for his birthday parties. I want him to grow up in my house. I want him to go to college. and I want to see him figure out how to pay for it. I want to be there for that. I want to change his future. And then, you know, as I was thinking about it, is that's similar with God. God wants to adopt us as his children. God wants to give us his name, be made in his image. He wants to see us figure out how to pay our mortgages. No, that's not. But God wants to adopt us into his family. And if I, being a dad with David, want to change his future, God, being God and who he is, wants to change our forever. Amen? Boy, that'll preach. Man, that is good. So here's some things that I see when I take a look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, some things that God wants you to know. So taking a look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your Bible probably says blessed be or praise be, right? But if we were truly reading this in the Greek, it would not, the little be there would not be there, because what it is, it's helping us English speakers understand a language that's more complex than ours. What it would really read is blessed God, meaning blessed as in that's who he is. It's a noun, not a verb. Blessed is who he is. And we have to understand first, if God wants us to know, all things originate from him. He is blessed, that's his name. He is the blesser, and he wants to bless us. So we need to understand first, as we kind of work through these things, that all things originate with the blesser, with blessed. It's a noun in the Greek. God is the blessed one, and he's the one that wants to bless us. You know, last night I was walking my dog, and we got some mud in our backyard. The builder didn't grade it. So like if we let her out in the backyard, she comes in looking like a brown dog, which is really forced me to kind of, we're working through that, but we're walking our dog more. And I've noticed at night, out on the edge of Conroe, we have the most beautiful skies. And I get to see all those stars up there. And then it made me think last night as I was taking a look at the stars is, man, there's a whole lot of stuff up there. And then I started thinking of all the galaxies and universes and how far it goes. But what's weird is I thought there's no life out there. There's no life out there. Life is only here. God designed life here for us. In fact, scientists say that there's four words that describe all of that out there, all that beauty that I was looking at. There's four words that describe it as darkness, lifelessness, emptiness, and cold. And I was just sitting there and looking at God's design and his creation, and yet life is here. People sometimes point to all the suffering and the struggle that happens on earth. And sometimes they evidence it as God is not a good God if there's all this pain and hurt. But, you know, I don't mean to take away from any of that. And we experienced that as a church body this morning. And my family too, we've experienced hurt and pain. But here's how I look at it. Give me 5 minutes here on earth where I can see God's light, his life, his laughter, and his love is better than a million years out there with all the cold, lifelessness, emptiness, and darkness. Think about that. Is there's a lot of joy that we get to experience. And that's who God is. He is the one that blesses us with all the life that we have, the joy that we have. See, we have a stunning way of focusing on missing fruit and snakes in the grass when we're surrounded by an absolute beautiful garden, don't we? It's this God that I want to talk about this morning, the one that's given us, who's blessed us, who is the blesser of all this life and love and happiness that we have here. The next thing I notice is God wants us to know that we're blessed in Christ. We are positioned in Christ. To be in Christ means this, is that you've accepted the gift that he gave us on the cross. I couldn't help but think of 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it gives a whole list of things, right? If you're a thief, if you're a liar, homosexual offender, sexually immoral, and it just gives a list of sins that if you identify with, you're not gonna experience the kingdom of God. You're not gonna inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the real challenge is you cannot say, I am a thief. That's who I am. That's who God made me. You can't not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't say, I'm a homosexual. This is who I am. This is who God made me. No, the Bible's very clear. That long list, if you identify with that, you are therefore denying him and you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So you have to say, I am a Christian and therefore I will inherit the kingdom of God. We have to be in Christ. So the blessed is saying that you're blessed in Christ. Amen? So in Christ, we who are saved are in Christ. We who have accepted that free gift of salvation are in Christ. Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, I was thinking, I remember my father-in-law bought a boat. This was a couple years ago. And I remember he had just gotten this boat. He got it all detailed and all ready to go for the lake. And I remember asking him, if I could borrow the boat. And kind of your reaction right there, that's kind of what I thought he would do back at me. But he threw me the keys. He said, just don't scratch it. But it was amazing to me that he would entrust me with this boat that he just bought and had just done all this detailing with. And I said, you're letting me take the boat out? He said, you're in the family now. And I was like, whoa. And I learned, I did not scratch it, but it did take me 20 minutes just to back that trailer up. I was like, if I'm in the family, he knows where I live. Yeah. The next thing I see here is, so the blessed has blessed us in Christ. The next thing that he wants us to know is, in Christ, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So let's talk about that for just a second. In Christ, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know what the true gift is? Is Christ himself. Is Christ himself. I had a friend just this week. She posted on Facebook. She lost her husband last year to brain cancer. And this was the week of her anniversary. And what she did is she said, what I decided to do was to go to the hotel where we had spent our honeymoon. She said, because I just wanted to feel close to him. And I wanted to celebrate this week in a different way. She said, what I did is I came here, even when people told me not to, she said, but I brought my Bible. And every day I was just getting into the word. And she said, the Lord just spoke to my heart that Jesus is more than enough to bring me through this. And what I realized is she is really, was helping me to understand all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places is Christ. Christ is the blessing. He is the prize. But that's amazing. Christ first is the amazing blessing. But he says that he gives us all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. And so I was thinking, what are some of these blessings outside of Christ himself, who's the one true blessing? You know, in Matthew 5:45, it says, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. There's a such thing as material blessings, right? And that's why we see that God gives material blessings to the just and the unjust. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about spiritual blessings. Those are reserved for those in Christ. Spiritual blessings are only for those that know Jesus. The one true gift is Jesus. But here's what Romans 9:23 says. In order to make known the riches of his glory for the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. So those spiritual blessings are the riches of his glory. Whose glory? Jesus' glory. He's the one true gift and the prize. All we've ever needed, past, present, future, is in Christ. And one of the greatest things is I think about, we are citizens of heaven as long as we know him, right? And we've been paid by his blood. So let's take a look at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. What he wants you to know this morning is he chose you. I know you think you made a decision to get here this morning, but God chose you. What's interesting here in the Greek, this verb means he chose for himself. And we really need to break that down, is because if he chose for himself, that means it doesn't have anything to do with you either. He chose you in spite of you. He chose you before you. He chose you. How does it put it right here? He chose you before the foundation of the world. That means he chose you before you messed up. He chose you before you decided to come to church. He chose you before you heard that person witnessing to you. He chose you before you disobeyed him. He chose you before you just didn't quite measure up. You see, if we were to, after church, decide to play kickball in our big old parking lot here, let's say that we're going to divide up into two teams, and we're going to pick captains, and so, let's say Daryl would be a captain, and Dustin, you'd be a captain, right? And so they'd start picking teams. What would you pick somebody to be on your kickball team? Maybe somebody athletic, right? Maybe somebody who can kick the ball really far. How about somebody that has some sort of hand-eye coordination so they can actually catch the ball? Maybe somebody who's really fast. You see, we would pick teams based on what value they can bring. We would pick teams on our chances of winning. What I love about this is God chose you before you had anything to do with it, before the foundations of the world. This choice was without merit on your part. Louis Giglio put it this way: God decided what to do with you long before you decided what to do with him. It says he chose us before the foundation of the world in verse 4 that we should be holy and blameless. So what he wants you to know is he's chosen you so that you could be holy and blameless. So I took a look at these words. Holy, as one perfect in righteousness, dedicated or consecrated to God. I cannot speak. As one perfect in righteousness, dedicated or consecrated to God, sacred, sanctified. You know what? That starts to sound a whole lot like Jesus. But let's not stop there. Blameless, without blemish, clean, upright, perfect. Again, sounds a whole lot like Jesus, doesn't it? He loves where you are, but he has a plan for where he wants you to be. And he wants you to be holy and blameless. He wants you, his plan is that you would look a whole lot like Jesus. Could you imagine on that day when you step into glory, if Jesus, it was like him looking in a mirror. Because you had changed in such a way over time that God had just worked in you and you had become more like Jesus. That's God's plan. You know, too many people think that getting saved is that, but there's a difference between saved and sanctification. Saved is an event. Sanctification is a process. You're going through a sanctification process. He wants you to be holy and blameless. It's going to be take time that he's molding and shaping you. His plan is that you would look like his son. Y'all can amen that. We were chosen before the foundations of time to be like Jesus. So that brings us to verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. He predestined us. All right, let's get into it. Let me roll these up. First of all, there was a time I didn't believe in predestination. Why are you laughing, Nada? But let me tell you something. God is not pre or post anything. God is present all the time. So we have to understand something. I wanted to give you some scriptures. An all-knowing God has predestined us to know him and his gift of salvation. So I took a look at a couple of scriptures. Matthew 24:31, and they will gather his elect. An elect, meaning God's predestined them. Acts 13:48, as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, meaning they had been appointed and they believed. God predestined them. Romans 8:30, and whom he predestined. It says it right there. And to whom he predestined. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. God chose you. Even the scripture verse we're in, It says, he chose you before the foundation of the time. He predestined you. And then 2 Timothy 2:10, I endure all things for those, for the sake of those who are chosen. If you don't believe in predestination, you got a lot of scripture you got to work through. And you might be able to fend off a little bit of it, but what does that say about our free choice, our free will, right? This is the old Calvinist Arminian debate on this predestination issue. So I took a look, let's say we got some freewheelers in here. And you say, no. If predestination is God's plan, then that takes away our free choice, our free will. Well, let me tell you, an all-powerful God who loves us gave us a chance to respond to his invitation. And I'm going to give you some scripture verses for you freewheelers. John 7:17, anyone who chooses to do the will of God. John 3:16, whosoever believes in him. How many of you want to be a whosoever? I want to be a whosoever. I am a whosoever. Joshua 24:15, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Mark 8:34, whoever wants to be my disciple. Jesus, why would you say that if you already predestined him? You already know. Revelation 3:20, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, it's entirely possible for the foreknowledge of God to know exactly who's going to be in heaven and for him to absolutely give us a choice to choose him. You say, well, Chris, that's not quite possible. I took a look. I looked up some illustrations on predestination, and I found a good one. A.W. Tozer attempts to reconcile this, what's seemingly contradictory belief on God's sovereignty or man's free will. He said, an ocean liner leaves New York bound for England. Its destination has been determined by the authorities, and it shall not change, it can't change. This gives us at least the best understanding of sovereignty, that the plan of course has already been chosen. On board the liner are tons of passengers. They're not in chains. Neither are their activities determined by the captain or the crew. They're free to do whatever they want to do. They're completely free to move about as they will. They eat, they sleep, they play, they lounge on the deck, they read, they talk, all together as they please. But all the while, the great liner is carrying them steadily towards London, the predetermined port. He says this, both freedom and sovereignty are present in this example, and they do not contradict one another. So it is with man's freedom and the sovereignty of God. The mighty liner of God's sovereign design keeps its steady course over the sea of history. I thought that was pretty good. But here's what I also think. God is God. If he didn't know who was going to be there, is he really God? And is he entirely capable to know exactly who's going to be there and also give us the ability of free choice? It's a God thing. It is in his character and nature to be able to do both at the same time and not contradict one another. That's the God we serve. This should be a praise God moment, not a you sit on that side or I'm going to sit over here. So it's yes and. Yes and. And the word of God says he predestined you. Think about that. Before the foundations of the world, he predestined us to know him. Can you imagine a God loving you so much that before Adam was even in the garden, he already knew he was going to have a relationship with you? That's a big God. Amen. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So the author of my faith went to the cross willingly. It says the joy set before him, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is at the right hand of God. What I also see in this verse is he says, what he wants you to know is he adopted you as sons. Adopted as sons. So we were talking about David. I want to change. There's challenges and there's obstacles, but I want to change his future. God wants to adopt us as his children. Our sins, whether pride, lust, greed, selfishness, anger, or whatever, rendered us abhorrent in God's holy sight. We need to stop for just a second. You see, there are some people, I firmly believe, that think that, you know what, Jesus didn't really need to go through the whole crucifixion thing for me. I'm not that bad. You know, maybe they could have whipped him and been on his way. Or maybe just one nail, not three. Yeah, I mean, he didn't need to die a death like that. We need to understand that we were rotten. We were abhorrent. We needed the whole painful, excruciating, nasty, full of vitriol and just nastiness death that he went through because we were that filthy. Some of us just, Lord, you just needed to dust me off. I'm that close to holiness. I hate to tell you, we needed that whole death to get there. And yet he still chose to adopt us. Praise God. He still chose to adopt us. I was looking last night and I saw that there is a love of equality which we as human beings, we look for, right? So like if you're in a relationship, my relationship with me is I want to love her, but I'm hoping she will love me in that same capacity, right? It's an equality of love. Or my children, as I love them, I'm hoping they will love me, right? And we see this, we expect kind of on this equal plane, this equality of love. And then there's another kind of love for the less fortunate. And we see that, the guy standing on the side of the road asking and something prompts you inside of you to give of your heart, right? And I'm just waiting for phone calls for North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia because there's a part of me that wants to go, right, and help and do that. And I remember last year at this time, we were still mudding out houses because there is a love for those less fortunate than us. We want to give to help, right? That's a love that's put in there. And then there's another rare love, which is for those that are more fortunate than us. Where you see somebody excelling in something and you're like, man, praise the Lord, I'm excited for that they're doing it. I mean, most of you, if you're like me, you just look on Facebook and wonder why I can't have that. But there is a rare love of more fortunate, right? That you are genuinely glad that somebody is excelling in something. But then there is the most rare love of all. And it's a love of an enemy. Love for one who does not love you, but mocks, threatens, and inflicts pain. That's an enemy. The tortured, loving the torturer. This is God's love. And we have to understand, we have been positioned as an enemy of God, and yet he still loved us. This speaks to the great length he went to bring you into the family, to adopt you, to set you free, to give you freedom, to purchase your liberty, to clean you up, to make you like Jesus. That rare kind of love is the God's love for us. Galatians 4:6 says this, and because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, who calls Abba, Father. So as you accept Jesus, you are no longer an enemy, but you're adopted as a son, and the Spirit inside of you cries out, Abba, Father. That's a level of intimacy that you've been brought into. That's how much God loves you. I want you to take a look at something, and I'm going to close with this. I want to reread Ephesians 3-6. Julie, will you throw it up there? And I want to highlight, this is what God wants you to know. I want to highlight something. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. So look at these highlighted words really quickly. He's blessed us with spiritual blessings. He chose us so that we'd be holy and blameless. He predestined us for adoption as sons, and then he's going to bless us again. What God wants us to know is all of this he's doing for you. But I want you to relook at this for just a second. Julie, throw that up. Yeah, he blessed us. Who did? God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. Remember, that was a blessing before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption. So we took a look at predestined and adoption. Where? To himself. As sons, we took a look at sons. He calls us sons, children. Where? Through Jesus Christ. According to the purpose of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has, remember, we focused on blessed us in the beloved. Who's in the beloved? Jesus is in the beloved. So what I take a look here is, if I reread this verse, at first it's easy to focus on the blessings, isn't it? A lot of people come to Christianity because that's what they see, is they see this big old God in heaven who can maybe help or who can maybe bless them. And at the first reading is it's easy to focus on the blessings of God. But when we really take a look at it, is it's God the Father of our Lord Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, in him, before him, to himself, through Jesus Christ. It's his will in the beloved, in Jesus. You know what he really wants you to know? Is he wants you to understand you've been chosen, adopted, and blessed for him. In him, through him, for his glory. Not that we would celebrate the blessings. He wants us to know that that's a side product of the fact that you're in him. So what I really see is all those blessings, you can't even take a look at them if you're not in him. If you're not a Christian, this means nothing to you. But if you're in the family of God, you have been positioned in him for glory. I don't think you're getting it. God wants us to understand that before the foundations of the world, he chose you in him. Before you ever did anything, he loved you in him. We serve a good God. If he would go to such great lengths to show us that kind of love, what do we do with it? How do we respond? You see, when we went to Africa, I got to see people that loved Jesus with their whole hearts. Because Jesus is all they had. But not here in the United States. We're just trying to fit him in. Check a box. Right? We're just trying to kind of do it our own way, and I'll call you if I need you. But what God's really saying is I've had a plan from the beginning of time, and that plan included you. And that plan is not there yet. You're gonna get there, and when you get there, you're gonna look like Jesus. You're gonna be holy and blameless. I have set you up. I have positioned you in Christ so that you will know this whole predestination. Yes, we've been predestined, but he gives us an opportunity. He gives us an invitation, and that's what's here this morning, is he's saying, hey, I've positioned you in me. Respond. Do something with it. Here's the free choice. Come. Let me clean your heart. Let me change your life. Let me change your relationships. Let me go into your job. Let me bring integrity. Let me show you what it means to live for me. And I'm going to ask you this morning to respond. Maybe you're like me and you read that scripture verse and you see all the things that God did for us, all those blessings. But maybe you need a second reading so that you can bring your focus on to the in Him. It's for Him, through Him, and by Him that I'm even here because He loves me that much.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.